The Observation Deck with Gordo, brought to us by A Number One Air.
Thank you so much, Miller Man. Well, I think we've confused the P1s, as I was once confused by this subject. And that is this tipping the service staff at a hotel, whether you leave a tip at the end of your stay or not. P1 Christina says you're supposed to do it every single day. She says leave $3 a night, and you leave it each morning when you head out. And she says she thinks it makes them do better the next day. I've never had a problem, really, with them cleaning the
place to begin with. No.
But you're not supposed to do it at the end of the trip, and that's the question I had, was it seems to work out poorly for them if you only tip at the end of your trip for someone like us who's staying there for 2 weeks.
Yeah, when I've, sometimes I'll leave a few bills out on the desk and it just loose change. They don't touch that.
Because
they're still cleaning the room.
Right. Because that would just be stealing.
Yeah. So how do you designate that is for them?
I don't know. Write tip in Spanish and put a little card above the cash.
Hey, in my room, I've got a little envelope, and it says your room is being cleaned by fill in the blank, and it's like a little money pouch.
Oh, I noticed that.
Oh, see, I didn't know that. I don't have that in my room, at least not that I've seen. Where was it?
On the dresser.
Huh.
Hmm. I haven't seen that. Blake tweets, I've never heard of tipping them until you guys talked about it. Am I wrong, guys? No, because I didn't know about this until like 15 years ago when I heard somebody talking about it. I grew up in a household that didn't teach me about tipping housekeeping staffs at hotels.
I'd never heard about it.
Staff. Staffs?
Staves. Staffs. Staffs.
Huh.
I'd never heard about it either. And it's part of our new world where we have to tip everybody for everything.
Everybody.
We don't tip Killer. He works hard out here at training camp all week.
We have to tip almost everybody for almost everything. Yeah, why don't you guys slip Killer a 20? He's been okay this week.
Killer, what's your take on that? Do you find it insulting if one of us tips you?
I figure you
because
guys,
you're like a coworker. You're not some sort of help staff.
I think I am help staff.
Oh,
to some, yes,
no.
Like to Gordo and Norm.
You guys should tip him $20 this week because he's been about average.
Gosh.
What?
So you would like to be tipped, Killer?
I'm okay.
What do you mean? You're okay with being tipped or you're okay and don't need to be tipped?
I'm okay.
What does that mean?
I don't know. We
do you
want to
be tipped
out.
Or not?
I'm okay. If you want to tip me, tip me.
So see, you're open for tips.
I'm always open for money.
Okay, but do you ever think about like tipping us because we're doing some programming that's contributing to you also being employed, and so we're all part of a team, so we should all tip each other, right?
I think you're adequately compensated.
How do you know?
Yeah, how do you know?
Yeah, how do you know?
I've seen George's castle.
Oh, yeah.
I don't have a castle.
Yeah, he's called you out there to do some stuff for him, do some landscaping work for him.
But really to scoreboard you.
Hey, Killer, you're an engineer at the ticket. Come on out to my place. I need you to do some landscaping.
I've never said something like
you,
that.
Yeah, you see them as just whatever you want him to do. He's got to do it. You don't pay him extra. It's part of your job.
I've never said something like that to Killer.
No, he has never said anything
like
that.
Okay, well, now this is an awkward moment because Killer seems like he's okay with us tipping him. And we've never done that before. Well, yeah, he wants money. Everybody wants money.
Okay, well, tip me, too.
Well, Killer's point is that you are compensated to such a degree that you can have a country spread of 150 acres or whatever that is you're on out there.
No. I don't want to hear it from you.
All right, so we got to tip Killer and Blake now.
I am not giving either one of them a dime.
So you're debating it, or did that sound pretty definitive there?
However, I will go into management and demand that they each get a raise.
Demand? Or just mention that they would probably like a raise?
No, I think they've done such a good job, and they do such a good job in general. I'm going to demand that they get a raise, or I quit.
Oh my gosh, what a hollow claim that is. There's no way you would do
that. Killer, don't you believe I would do that for you?
No.
No.
Yeah, good.
Nobody does. But you have to make a rule that you don't tip people that you work
with.
That's impossible.
Right. That's why I'm going to demand that they get a raise.
By the way,
Dan Bennett and Catman, if you're listening, I demand these two get a raise.
Cheap.
There, I've done it, Killer.
All right, Killer, what were you about to say? Junior didn't want to hear you speaking, obviously. But
if you guys tip me, it'd be
Do you guys...
stop it.
It'd be really what?
Awkward.
Yes, it would be.
I mean, I think
because
both
if we tipped you, then doesn't that mean that we should also tip the receptionist when we pass her in the morning?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because she handles trafficking of guests and all that sort of thing for us.
It would be just really weird just to take money for something that I do anyways.
But you said that you would be okay with it.
I was joking around.
Oh, really and truly, you were?
Yeah.
Okay, thank God. That relieves me of a little bit of moral panic there for a moment. So we're not tipping you, Killer, and I was going to, but you just said that it would make you feel uncomfortable. And so I want to respect your wishes there. And then I see this in Poland. This makes me think that Idiocracy is starting in Poland and now it's spreading, because this has got to be ground zero for it. Vagina beer made with the essence of hot underwear models goes on sale.
That's kind of my idea.
Your idea was to sell breast milk from hot women.
Yes. Grade A breast milk would be from the supermodels, and your grade D breast milk would be from
what?
Maybe some of the women we see here in Oxnard.
Dude.
There's some rough old gals here in Oxnard.
Really rough.
I only drink the finest breast milks.
This went on sale last week, and it's beer made from the vaginal lactic acid of hot underwear models.
How are they getting this?
I don't know, but this is Chris Entrepreneur who's selling it, and it's the brewery, which is an awkward word.
Yeah.
I never can say that well. Say it, George.
Brewery?
It's a weird word.
It made me think about it.
The
brewery.
Brewery is known as the Order of Yoni, which Yoni or Yoni is the Sanskrit word for the female genitals.
Yoni.
Genitals.
That's a good word.
We never called that before. Yeah. That's a great version of it. Genitals.
food.
In their
what?
Easy.
I didn't mean it that way. I didn't.
What way? You know what?
You know what way?
I enjoyed that comment so much. I'm tipping you right now.
Thank you.
You're getting $5.
Thank you very much.
Now. Yeah, the promotional material says, imagine the woman of your dreams, your object of desire, her charm, her sensuality, her passion. Now you can try how she tastes, feel her smell, hear her voice. Seems like a tack on there at the end. Now imagine you're giving... her giving you a passionate massage and gently whispering anything you'd like to hear. Now free your fantasies and imagine all that can be encompassed in a bottle of beer. Seems like an oversell.
Yeah, yes.
That's a lot for just a bottle of beer.
But a bottle of beer that has her vaginal acid in it.
Yeah.
All right.
That's we'll look for that.
Do we need this?
No.
We're going to be passing this out at Ticket Stock. For the P1s.
Okay. A lot going on,
George,
at Ticket Stock.
Will you drink a bottle of my vaginal beer?
No.
That'd be a great bit at Ticket Stock.
Yes.
If on stage you would do that.
You probably are capable of that, but no.
What does that mean?
You figure it out.
What does that mean? All right. Hey, well, you're in with all those microbreweries. Why don't you have them make a...
Not all of them, just one of them.
Beer out of your mangina acid.
All right, Gordo, thank you. That's the ODEC. By the way, Killer, have you received your raise yet?
No.
All right.
Oh. I just Venmoed some money to you. Did you get it?
My demand still stands. I walk.
So hollow.
If Killer and Blake don't get a raise. And
all
Tony.
Right. So I hollow. Also will join this ultimatum, and I'm giving them a deadline of 2030 to get the paperwork
now,
done.
See, he doesn't mean it.
I do mean it.
I mean it.
I walk at 2030 if he doesn't get a raise between now and then.
Let's muse in the news with Gordo, brought to us by D&M Leasing and All-Pro Foundation Repair.
Thank you so much, Miller Man. Prompted by George, we were talking earlier this week about Bigfoot erotica.
That was not prompted by your story,
into
sir.
The discussion about other forms of erotica that are very popular that you can buy for your Kindle. And it's weird stuff. It's basically monster erotica. Popular with the women's
popular,
yeah. And some of it is dinosaur erotica, and this apparently got really popular a few years ago, and still you can see that some of the best sellers are, you know, T-Rex invasion and all this sort of thing. There's Craig, scene from Craig's erotica book. And then some P1 sent me this one. How about combining dinosaurs, aliens, with hot lovemaking?
How about not?
If you do all of that, you get this book here, Space Raptor Butt Invasion. And you can see there's a velociraptor dressed like Neil Armstrong on the surface of the moon, except he's not wearing a protective helmet. That's the part that's exposed. And in front of him is a really hot-looking twink.
That's legit?
This is legit. This is our world here. Now, I remind you, we don't have too much time on our hands, you know. I mean, we're always in a life-or-death struggle. We're not too rich of a nation.
And if I'm reading correctly, it gets 4.5 stars out of
40
5.
Reviews. Yeah, 40 reviews already. Only $2.99 for Space Raptor Butt Invasion.
Okay.
Can I see that?
Oh, look, Craig wants to really take a look at that guy.
I want to look at the Neil Armstrong Velociraptor.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that twink is pretty fit.
So do you think the
no.
Space Raptor...
The boys who were charging the beaches on D-Day had time
they
to...
Were not, they were not, it's not what they were fighting for.
Did you read the author's name?
Uh-oh. No, I didn't.
Chuck Tingle.
So genius. So genius. There's a lot of things that we look around and see in our world, and we have to wonder if our boys fought for it on D-Day.
That was not one of them.
You don't think so?
No, that never crossed their mind.
What about vagina beer?
Nope.
Okay. And then another topic that we touched on was I made the crazy claim that there's been no other great groups out of Sweden than ABBA. I said, who else do you get any name, musician?
Well, really, ABBA's not great, so really nobody's come out of Sweden.
Yeah, I think the world agrees ABBA is great. And then, so I'm looking here at a list of the best-selling Swedish music artists of all time. Of course, ABBA tops the list. But Eagle Eye Cherry, that's a band you may have heard of. The Cardigans. The band Europe is from Sweden. I didn't
know
that.
Final Countdown?
Mm-hmm. Avicii, Ace of Base. Completely forgot about Ace of Base. Which is kind of like an ABBA knockoff group to me. But they're from Sweden. Roxette is from Sweden. They're the second best. She/they are the second biggest selling artist from Sweden. 75 million albums Roxette has sold. And, of course, number one on the list is ABBA. 375 million. 300 million more than the second on the list.
Wow.
375 million. That's a lot of albums, Giorgio.
That is.
And this is all about the Bird Dogs war with ABBA.
We don't have a war with ABBA.
Sold quite that
Just
many yet.
Told you I'm not into them, like you are.
In Fort Worth, two Fort Worth police officers have been placed on administrative desk duty while they investigate this death of a suspected prowler who died in the back of their squad car a week ago. So he complained, the guy who had been detained, complained about having medical issues while he was handcuffed in the back of the squad car. This happened back on July 26th. And the cops were responding to this prowler report. And so they find the suspect, throw him back there, and then they left him there and started doing more investigation. They come back, and he was not in good shape. And he was unresponsive in the vehicle, and they tried to apply medical aid, called for an ambulance, but he was pronounced dead at the hospital. It's always strange, these people that die in police custody. Like, they must be on...
Many of them are on something.
You think that you're on some sort of drug that just makes their heart explode? Or you read about these young suspects who are tased, and then... I do think that the tasing... There's something weird about that that I see can cause such electrical interruption to the heart rhythm.
Yes.
That may not be the most non-lethal thing in the world.
Would you agree to be tased at ticket stock?
No. No, I fear the tase because of the fact that I think that it makes your heart go goofy.
You won't do it for charity?
I won't do anything for charity.
Mark?
George, you would. You'd be tased, wouldn't you?
No.
You ever watch tasing videos?
Yes.
You can go down
disturbing.
That, you can go down that wormhole. Is it rabbit hole or wormhole? It should be rabbit hole,
yeah,
right?
I think it's rabbit hole.
But why do we sometimes say wormhole? Wormhole just means you instantaneously come out at another place in the universe, right?
Yes.
So it should be rabbit hole.
I've done that before.
No, you haven't. But you watch tasing videos, and it's so weird to see how some people react strongly, and other people don't. They can keep moving and stuff.
Yeah.
But then other people, they get shot, and they just go, they plank all of a sudden. They go straight up and fall over. It's really, really funny looking, if it weren't so deadly.
If it right. didn't kill him.
And I have no idea whether this guy was tased or not. But there's also those cases, a lot of the positions that cops are trained to put people in to subdue them. You know, a knee on the middle of the back can compress the lungs to such a degree that someone can stop breathing that way. But no word on what causes this. I told you that this was going to happen. At the beginning of this week, I told you that Apple was going to hit $1 trillion, and it did.
Damn.
The world's first $1 trillion company is Apple Computers. And it reminds me of the very disturbing story about Steve Jobs I read this week. Steve Jobs is no longer with us. But as he was dying of pancreatic cancer, his daughter that he denied paternity of for a long time during her life, Lisa, he actually named a product after her at one point. She said she was visiting him shortly before his death, and she leaned in to hug him, and the visionary genius Steve Jobs said to her, "You smell like a toilet." And that was some of the last words that he spoke to his daughter.
That's sweet.
Smell like a toilet. That's like something you would say.
Wait, how did this become negative against me?
It just does. Was you think, negative, I was laughing.
You think those will be some of my final words? Is telling someone that they smell like a toilet?
That's possible, yeah.
As they lean over.
I can definitely see that. Especially if it was me, yes. You would say something wheels off like that to me.
As they lean
if
over.
You're on your deathbed, not me on mine, though.
You look like a chicken.
What?
As they try to comfort you in your Lee Harvey bathtub.
Dude, this is about Steve Jobs and the $1 trillion company he left behind for his toilet daughter.
By the way, if P1 did the math for us, if you had purchased $100 of Apple stock when it was $1 a share 15 years ago, I think, not that long ago.
Which is when I was debating buying it because I'd gotten the first iMac.
Back as you were sitting on your stoop smoking and... reassessing your life.
It was not a good time for me, but then again, no time has been a good time.
$100, if you had spent that and purchased 100 shares, it would be worth $341,000 today.
Dang it.
Do you regret that?
I regret everything I've ever done. So, yes. Yeah, it's reached $1 billion, and this is after Steve Jobs died. You know, a lot of people didn't think that company would survive very well after he went away. But that Tim Cook dude has led it to the trillion-dollar company level. One of the most successful gay men of all time, Tim Cook.
Is that the guy from Queer Eye for the Straight Guy?
What?
Who's the gay guy, Tim, who's real famous?
I don't know.
Yeah, you know who I'm talking about.
But I'm pretty sure Tim Cook's been... What did I say his name was?
Tim Gunn.
Tim Gunn. That's who I'm thinking of.
Oh. I'm pretty sure Tim Cook has been confirmed.
Really?
I hope he has. Because I certainly don't want to be... Okay. I don't want to be reporting on a guy who has a billion-dollar company if he does not want to be reported on.
This is the gay Tim I was talking about.
Stop. Don't call him the gay Tim. Whoa.
Look at that picture.
I've never heard him laugh that hard.
Tim Gunn. You know him, don't you?
He looks cocked there. I mean, am I wrong, guys? Anna Hofstetter, a 30-year-old waitress who works at Hotel Nashville in Nashville, Indiana. On July 21st, she was waiting on an unnamed couple. They sit down, and they tell her that they were married at that hotel 7 years earlier, and they were back there to celebrate their anniversary. So, you know, she's talking with them throughout the course of waiting on them in the evening, and part of their conversation, she tells them that she has three kids, and I guess tells them a little bit about her life. And then when it came time for the check, she gets it after they leave. And in the gratuity line on the $32 tab, they wrote $1,000.
Whoa.
$1,000 tip. And it said, give something for your children. Hmm. That's awkwardly worded. But instead of spending the money directly on gifts for her children or to pay off her student debts, she decided to pay it forward, and she donated the money to a project to build a skate park in the town for the town's youth.
For Skateboard Man.
Yeah. Hmm. There aren't better causes.
I thought you were going to say she blew it on vaginal rejuvenation.
Why did you think I was going to say
that?
And that money is never blown, by the way. That's always money well spent. Do you know how many vaginal rejuvenations I've paid for?
That's a big business
these days.
Yeah, it is.
Tons of guys are getting that.
I know. I keep trying to get it. I just want to feel new on my wedding night. What do they do with vaginal? What is that?
They tell us.
They fix it up.
You're the expert.
Well, how?
They just put everything back in place.
What do you mean? How does it get out of place?
I think childbirth and age.
Childbirth and AIDS does...
Age.
But how do they make things more...
It's just
packed?
Like any other plastic surgery. It's like a facelift or...
So they have to take out skin. We're not talking about labiaplasty. We're talking about vaginal rejuvenation, right? Like, how do they do that inside there?
They tighten everything up.
And are you against this procedure or for it?
No. I know people who have quit their jobs to become vaginal rejuvenationists.
Or rejuvenators would be a little bit easier to say. You don't know anyone who's quit their job.
I do, too.
You can't just become one of those.
I know
people.
You have
to be a plastic surgeon first. George, shake your head. The guy who sits here and tries to sell me on labiaplasty at every turn when the mics are off.
I don't even know what that is.
Good Lord. It's like you're an encyclopedia salesman, except it's for smaller labias. Anyway, that was a feel-good story to try to cushion you for this next story.
How we ended up there.
A 2-year-old boy in Philadelphia did not have a very positive encounter with three of the pit bulls inside his family's home. And he is the cutest little boy in the world, and he was killed by his family pit bulls.
God.
Officers got to the scene. They see through the front door the dogs that were still attacking this boy, even though he's lifeless at this point. And He fires shots at the dogs, hits, I think, one or two of the dogs.
They don't stop.
They did not stop. They would not let go of the body.
Wow.
What in the heck?
But we'll hear it from P1s about how they are.
Cue pit bull defenders.
Yes, cue pit bull defenders to blame the little boy or to blame the parents or to blame the code violation, whatever. Anything but the actual animals. Because the animals had nothing to do with it. Nothing. And then the big breakthrough, U.S. scientists working on male contraceptives. Finally, men are going to be getting the pill themselves. They're hoping by 2028. So there's two different contraceptives they're working on. One is a pill, like women take the pill, men would take the pill. And then the other one is a gel that you rub on your shoulder each day.
Shoulder?
Yes. And it's some combination of testosterone and progesterone, or estrogen, one of the two. And you rub it on your shoulder, and the reason you do it there is they say that's the place that you're that a child or woman is least likely to come in contact with, so they won't get any on them, you know? Like, inadvertently take some of your gel.
Okay.
And you do that, and then you have no sperm. I mean, am I wrong, guys?
Yeah, I think so.
At all interested in the male contraceptive, or would you rather just get the vasectomy? George, I know your answer because... Well, no, I don't know your answer. If this had been available to you, would you rather take a male contraceptive or get snipped like you did?
Yeah, I don't know. Snipped one bad.
I think it depends on the side effects from the gel or the pill. I would like to do anything in my life to avoid any kind of surgery. I've made it this far, knock on wood.
That's an easy one. You're not even knocked out. Just the you just get the local.
Don't you want to be knocked out for that, though?
Yeah, don't you
just
feel
don't look.
Taking
yeah,
a
just
mallet
don't look.
To your nuts?
You just don't look.
Don't you feel an uncomfortable tugging?
A little bit of a tug.
But not a good tug,
there's
right?
There's some smoke involved.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, didn't you say you could smell burning flesh?
I don't know if I told you that, but it's like there's some sort of soldering iron that's being used.
That sounds awful.
So wrong. And that's on your ball nuts.
Yeah.
All right. Birthdays today. Tony Bennett is 92.
Wow. Still touring.
Yeah.
He is. We saw him live, didn't we? Wasn't he at
World Series?
Yeah. Did you know he was in Dancing with the Stars, too?
Martin Sheen is 78.
I like him.
Lifestyle guru Martha Stewart, 77. She is 77.
Does not look 77.
Still looks wonderful. John Landis is 68. James Hetfield of Metallica is 55. Spinderella from Salt and Pepper.
Take its own.
Is 47.
She's been on with Norm and Donnie before.
Evangeline Lilly. Was that a Norm guest or a Donnie guest?
A Norm.
Okay. Evangeline Lilly is 39.
From Lost.
Yes. Rapper Dram, or D-R-A-M, is 30. Lance Allworth is 78.
Bambi.
What's he known for?
He's fine.
I thought there was
a good receiver, but there was some off-the-field trouble.
I thought that was Lance Rensel.
Oh,
Lance Allworth is fine, guys.
Right. Yeah, we're safe there. Okay.
He's, Lance Allworth's a Hall of Famer.
Indeed. And Tom Brady turns 41 today.
Wow.
The great Tom Brady.
He sucks.
All right, thanks. That's Muse, 732 on the ticket. It's the great Gordo with another coach.
Yeah, I do this every training camp, and every training camp after I do it, I wonder why I do it. Because every time I talk with Coach Jason Garrett, I feel we have zero chemistry.
That's true.
That is true.
Because he's so wary of me. He's so concerned that I'm going to, I don't know, just totally bomb him in the interview.
He's that way with everybody, though. He's very guarded.
He is. He is so skittish.
But
you talk about a shelter dog. He's like killer. He's like the ticket shelter dog killer. He's just nervous and skittish.
But, you know, over the years, I'd say he's more personable with you, though, than he is at, like, his news conferences.
I agree with you, and I think
Interviews are interesting.
I think it's saying a whole lot too, because if you call this personable,
right?
So you be the judge and see if you think I have awkward chemistry with the coach. Now, I didn't do anything crazy with him. I just got to know Jason Garrett.
Group photo with you after.
Sure.
Also,
that was practice today.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, I need to explain what you're going to hear first.
Who's getting this done?
This is people who are waiting to get his autograph, and he conducts such small talk with them. And, hey, getting it done. Who'd you like out there? That kind of stuff.
Group photo with you after.
Sure.
Also,
that was practice today.
Oh, awesome.
Okay, what was good about it?
Everything.
Caleb looks good. Caleb looked good?
Yeah.
What are you doing?
You're making a lot of burnt bones a few times.
Yeah.
Right?
In there, guy.
It's good competition, right?
Okay. Here with Coach Garrett. Coach, first of all, generic question. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Good. All right, that's out of the way. We've been debating this on the air on the ticket, and you may be in a position to know the answer to it better than anyone else. How much money do you think Jerry Jones carries in his wallet?
Boy, I have no idea about that one.
Do you think he's cashless and just lets Roosevelt carry it, or?
Boy, I have no insight on that.
What about you? Do you still carry cash, or you use credit card? Now, you will hear the whole first part of this interview. He does everything he can do in his power to not answer me, to not answer my question. What about you? Do you still carry cash, or you use credit card?
I probably use a little cash, and I use a credit card. A little bit of both.
Like, if you were to guess how much cash you would have on you, I don't know about now.
Right now, I have none.
But, like, tonight, when you go out, do you know how much is in your wallet?
I'm not going out. I'm going to meetings.
Yes.
Yeah, it probably varies. I have no idea how much money I have in my wallet right now. We eat a lot of meals here, so it's not something that's at a premium right
so
now.
So you're piggybacking. He's always doing the bringing it back to camp.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's all about
all,
the camp.
All about the camp.
It's not something that's at a premium right
so
now.
So you're piggybacking off the Cowboys, getting the free meals.
Yeah, exactly right.
Okay, another thing that we've been debating is that it seems like your hair is always the same length. How often do you get your hair cut, or do you not need to get your hair cut? You're just genetically gifted to keep the same length at all times.
Oh, I think probably the kinky nature of my hair probably makes it appear like it's the same length. You know, I don't know. Every few weeks I get a haircut.
And do you get an expensive haircut?
Oh, I just go to see my girl Veronica.
So you have a regular person,
yes.
Right?
And she's great, and she's very flexible with my schedule.
Now, I would have guessed that there was nothing kinky about you, but you do mention your hair. Have you ever grown it out in kind of a 1970s white boy fro?
Well, in the 1970s, it was grown out when I was a youngster. Yes.
Like how big?
It was big.
Like 6 inches off your head?
Oh, I never measured it, but you know, afros were in back then.
I cannot imagine you with an afro. That'd be a funny Photoshop.
Yeah.
You know? Finally, what good books are you reading right now? If we went to the Coach Garrett side table there in your bedroom or your sleep chamber, whatever you call it.
Right now, I'm not really reading anything in training camp. I have a few books that I read over the off season. I usually have a couple of them going at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to work my way through the Leonardo da Vinci book by Walter Isaacson.
Oh, the biography?
Yeah, that's been challenging for me. I really enjoy it.
Yeah.
But I've read some other more work-related things in and around that. So
da Vinci, fascinating guy. I believe he was ambidextrous, could write with both hands, forwards and backwards.
Yeah. From what little I know about him, talk about the ultimate genius.
Right.
Just incredibly talented in so many different arenas. So
would he be a good offensive coordinator?
Yeah. You know, it's really interesting how he used science and mathematics along with his art. And again, I know nothing about this, but it's fascinating to read a little bit about his approach and all the different contributions he made that are still fairly significant, whatever it is, 500 years later.
Yeah, I went to the place in France where he died, and they actually had prototypes of helicopters that he had designed and all kinds of real futuristic stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is pretty interesting.
And obviously his work on the human body, I think, has been really interesting, too. And again, you have to project back all those years before we have all this science that we have now. So, obviously a pretty bright guy.
Would he make it in your four dinner companions, eternal
again,
hypothetical?
Again, I'm early on in the book, and it's been a little bit of a work in progress for me, but he's a fascinating guy. There's no question about that.
So who would be in your four? Would you pick some football guy in your four, or would it, you go all historic, like Jesus, Lee Harvey Oswald, Steve Martin?
So Rob is choosing,
I don't know,
a dead or alive.
Yes, it can be either. It can be either. Dead
yeah.
or alive, all time.
I think if we had an opportunity to be with Jesus, we'd probably cancel the other two reservations, right?
Indeed.
I think he'd probably trump everything.
Yeah, because what if he didn't get any talk time, Jesus? You know,
yeah.
Spend your whole time talking to John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah, in fact, you have a little bit of a Jesus look going.
Thank you for noticing that. I emulate him.
Really?
In my character and in my visage.
Yeah, it's impressive. People have told me that about you.
Oh, good. Well, good.
Kind of a Christ figure.
And when you go out on the town in L.A., and I know you don't do this normally during camp because you're working, but what are some of your favorite places in L.A.? What is Jason Garrett's guide to kicking it in L.A.?
I don't really go out in L.A.
Never go karaokeing or rap battles?
Probably couldn't name a place.
Rap battles. Yeah.
Favorite kind of food?
I love Italian food.
Yeah, can't go wrong with that.
Yeah.
What's your lineage? What's your ancestry?
Irish, English, German.
No Italian.
But love going to Italy.
It's your favorite place in Italy? Been to the Cinque Terre or anything like that?
No, I haven't been to Cinque Terre, but we've been to a few other spots, and every place I've been, I just absolutely love.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard place not to enjoy. The people are great. The food's great. It's obviously beautiful, great water, great lakes, great mountains, and there's something about how they approach life that's certainly attractive. So,
what's the next on the Coach Garrett travel list when you get some time to travel? You have another destination in mind that you've got on the calendar?
In Italy or anywhere?
Anywhere in the world.
Yeah, there's a lot of places. I haven't spent much time in Asia. I'd like to do that at some point. Want to get to South Africa. Never been to the Greek islands. And then there are just thousands of other places I'd love to go to.
When you travel, do you travel usually first class now, or do you ever backpack it? Did you ever backpack it?
I don't know that I ever backpacked it. But there are different levels of travel that I've experienced throughout my life.
Right. Yeah, depending on your income, I would assume.
Well, just kind of where you are in your life.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah. Well, thank you for talking to us. Always a pleasure to speak.
Yeah, I always enjoy it.
Thank you, Coach Garrett. Appreciate it. Take care.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, there are times where he almost just totally shuts you down, but I'm telling you, he's more personable with you than I've ever heard him.
It's weird. It's hard to get him to open up. He's so wary. It's like when I asked what his ancestry was, he was really skittish to give me that information as if that would afford me too much power in the world if I knew.
You know, that was really, really good. But I had the feeling throughout the entire interview that after he answered each of your questions, he was trying to get away from you. And then you asked another one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pulled him back in.
Absolutely. As a matter of fact, not only was he trying to get away from me in the conversation, but during the course of the interview, we probably moved 50 feet backwards. Him retreating from me and me keep approaching him with the microphone.
I never thought I would hear him tell you that you were Christ-like.
That was weird.
You're a Christ-like figure.
Heard that about you.
So weird. But there it is.
Okay.
Every year.
Always fascinating.
My exclusive.
The great
Coach
Gordo
Garrett.
And Jason Garrett.
I think that was your best one yet.
Oh,
yeah,
thank you.
May have been.
Thank you, sir.
All right, it's 8:48 on the ticket.
And 21 on the ticket from Oxnard. It's Gordo's Corner. Brought to us by Lunazul Tequila.
Okay, we're going to get to the P1 phone calls. The training camp edition of Friday. Fantastic Friday fan feedback. But before we do that, I have to give out my camp grades.
Okay. For who?
For us, as broadcasters.
Oh, boy. I wonder what Gordon will get.
I'm going to give Killer a B for his excellent engineering work. He did well. He always goes above and beyond the call of duty. But, of course, he still reacts with slight panic and hand tremors whenever faced with any sort of difficulty. And so he had a few panic moments here. He didn't have the printer working all the time, which is the way to get an A from me, is make sure that printer's working all the time. But printers are hard to battle, Killer.
It was always turned on. It was always your computer issue, not the printer.
Oh, that's right. That's right. I forgot.
Ooh.
My computer was the one that made it really low on ink and the cartridges.
No, that was actually Norm.
And also the paper we ran out of.
Norm printing the internet.
Because I didn't buy the right MacBook Pro to begin with.
I wouldn't have run out of paper.
Hey, back to your corners. That's enough.
That's a C for killer for the week.
Just dropped a letter.
You have a D.
Craig. I know. I have a big one. Craig, you get a B plus. I felt that your broadcasting was excellent. I thought you came with your A game.
But not enough to get an A, apparently.
Not enough to get an A.
Interesting.
George, a good, solid C minus.
Wow, thanks, Gordon.
Minus.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, the fact that you didn't embrace Coco the Gorilla or Rick Skinlon and really hurt you
this week.
That's
what gives you an F for this week.
It really hurt you this week and last week. So you get a C minus minus for that. No, the only person to really get an A on this crew was me.
What a waste of time this
was. Was me, Gordon Keith. I thought I really entertained the masses pretty hard this week. And, you know, when it comes to going above and beyond the call of duty, there are two words. Gordon Keith. Those are the two words that come to mind.
Okay.
Because I served up a fresh pot of comedy every single day.
Okay.
So there you go. There are my grades. P1s can come up with their own. 888-787-1310 if you'd like to comment on Jason Killer Kellison's D, his small D, or Craig's B plus or George's C minus minus or my A. All right, we first go to
Alex in Kaufman.
Fake voice.
Why'd you say it like that? Alex. Hi, you're on the ticket.
Hey, Muser, what's going on?
Hey.
Hey, Georgia, this question's for you.
Okay.
Marry one, kill one, and F one. Coco, Tiger Woods, and the Skinlon brothers.
Ooh, that is a good one.
The only one I'll comment on is Coco, just to kill.
She's the only female in the group.
She's already dead anyway,
and
so
you
why are we talking about
as
her?
Hetero, you're cisgender.
So why are we talking about her? That's what I want to know.
Which one are you going to
marry, and which one are you gonna?
I'm not gonna. I don't play that dumb game.
Hashtag me too.
You just
played a third of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You would choose
the only part I wanted to play.
Tiger to do the.
That's your game.
Letter after E, because he has the most experience and he's probably pretty good, don't you think?
And Rick Skinlonen has the least experience.
But he would be so accommodating and sweet to live
with. Don't waste any more time on that call. Go to the next one.
So you would marry him, right? You marry Rick Skinlonen. Yeah.
Let's go to the next one.
All right, let's go to
Anthony and Denton.
Okay. A little more energy than that, but Anthony and Denton, you're on the ticket.
Hey, I'm hoping this will be funny. How did Taco Charlton get his nickname?
I don't know.
His grandmother.
Taco Charlton was the nickname.
Oh, I'm so sorry. When I said I thought it'd be funny, I thought you might have a funny story about the nickname.
Okay, that is kind of funny. That is kind of funny.
That is funny.
Thank you, Alex, for your courage. All right, let's go to
Cade in Plano.
Cade, you're on the ticket.
Hello, fellas.
Hey, Cade.
Speaking of printers, do you remember when Norm printed out all 700 and something pages of the Mitchell Report?
Yes.
And they played a prank on him, and it was kind of funny. Hey, George.
Wait, what was the prank?
They had Cat Collins being charged for it.
They said that he had to pay back the paper. Do y'all remember that?
Like $47
they said he had to pay back the paper.
Yeah, like he had to, yeah. Man, I thought everybody was.
Gotcha. They, no, like, I got it.
And he was on the air.
Yeah, thank you. Thank
everybody
you.
On the air, yeah.
That is funny. Why did Norm print out the whole Mitchell Report?
I don't know.
He did it twice. He left the first one at home.
Oh, so God, that's right. Printed out twice.
1,400 pages.
And it tied up the printer for forever. All right, let's go to
Paul in Palm Springs.
Let's go to Palm Springs.
Paul in Palm Springs.
Okay. Let's go to Paul in Palm Springs.
Good one. Hey, Craig, you were speaking earlier about hormones and enzymes. Do you know how to make a hormone?
This is line four guy again.
How line four guy?
I don't even know who that is. Why do you refer to me as this?
This is such line four guy.
Because you are line four guy.
I don't know what that means.
You have his exact voice.
I don't know who that person is. I don't
know. That is a line for guy. Okay. What up?
Okay, do you know how to make a hormone?
How?
Don't pay her. Anything? Nothing? Okay, hey, George, are you there?
Yeah, barely.
You have such almond-shaped, smiling eyes. I cannot wait for you and I to get something straight between us.
What the hell just happened here?
All right, line four guy.
I'm not that guy. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay.
I love the fake town Palm Springs that he's calling from.
Doesn't he always call from a different fake town every single time? Is there a chance that that's not line four guy? He's still on the line.
I can tell you exactly where I'm at right now.
Okay.
I'm off the 10 and Jefferson in Indio, California.
Okay.
He can make that up. I can tell you where I am right now. I'm Park Avenue, Midtown Manhattan. Anybody can do that.
I don't know, but he was so specific. You can't make up something that specific.
I'm going to drive up to Oxnard right now so you guys can see that I am not this four-line person.
Four-line.
Oh, gosh.
All right, then.
Good dude.
Why did he take to calling our show?
I don't know.
All right, let's go to...
Great call, racket.
No, it wasn't that great. Let's go to...
Jacob in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Jacob in Tulsa. You're on the AM radio.
Hey, musers. I need some advice.
Uh-huh.
My grandmother just shared a picture of Obi-Wan Kenobi thinking it was Jesus. Should I tell her mistake, or should I just let her go on her way?
Wait, now what?
Your grandmother just shared a picture with you.
No, she shared a picture on Facebook of Obi-Wan Kenobi thinking it was Jesus. It said, like, I can show that I'm a Christian on Facebook and that my friends can all know. And
there's no way she did that.
Don't tell her. Don't tell her. Just let her go with it.
Which Obi-Wan? Which version of him?
Ewan McGregor, Attack of the Clones.
My goodness. That's bad. Yeah. You should correct her.
He's like full ginger.
Okay. Tell her it's Kenny Loggins.
Conversation.
Was Jesus a ginger?
No, Ewan McGregor was.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Let's go to...
Cletus in Mesquite.
Cletus in Mesquite.
Good morning, Mr. Dunham.
Hi.
Vaginal slice, born.
Let's go to...
That's the original.
Let's go to James in Dallas.
James in Dallas, you're on AM.
So, Junes, I'm driving down a road. Everything's going fine. And then the right lane backs up. And guess what? One of your bicycle riders is in the lane. Two cars can barely fit. Don't you think those guys need to go down the side streets when they know they're blocking traffic like that?
Yeah, what road were you on?
I can't remember. It was like it's partial bridge and partial road. But again, traffic's going smooth, and the bicyclist, he's chugging along. But, I mean, come on, man.
Well, there's some sections where you have to take a main road. But in general, yes, cyclists should use side roads if they're available.
The teacher's always said you don't think it's good for a cyclist to go down Mockingbird at 5 o'clock in the afternoon.
No, I think cyclists, while they are legally entitled to ride on the road wherever they want and whatever road, unless it's an interstate, I've always said that, especially at rush hour, they should take side roads. I take side roads at all times because it's safer. I don't know why a cyclist would want to ride down a four-lane road or a main road in town. And yeah, I just think common sense, yes, legally you're entitled to ride there, but I've always encouraged cyclists to take as many side roads as possible because you upset fewer drivers and it's a lot safer for you.
Let's go to
Paul in Plano.
Paul in Plano.
Paul, good morning, musers. How are you guys doing today?
We're doing fine.
I did that joke.
Good, good, good. I'd love to give you guys a hard A. Please, can we give Norm a hard S?
Hey.
No. What?
Easy.
Come on, listen. It's time to put him out the pasture, man.
No, hey. Don't say that. Come on.
All right, we can't end on that one. Hi, you're on AM radio. You are?
Glenn in Plano.
Glenn, how are you, Glenn?
I'm fantastic. Hey, George, who's the hot fries player of training camp?
Whoa!
Yeah!
I guess it's our last day here. I guess Michael Gallup will make him our hot fries player at training camp to this point.
Why?
I think he's been very noticeable. He's made a lot of plays at the receiver position.
Why?
He's flashed.
But why?
I just told you.
Why?
He showed well here the first week.
So why? This is a pretty big deal. You can't just say, I don't know.
It's not that big a deal.
It is.
No,
you got to go
not.
Present him the trophy.
And you guys never let me announce it anyway. You come up with your own, then you just say it's my award.
But when you have a chance, you really need to take the reins. Like when they announce the Heisman winner, they don't get up there and say, I guess it's Baker.
Well, because
Mayfield.
This is training camp. It's tough to come up with a player of the camp.
Why? No, it isn't.
Really stepped forward that much.
Are you going to present him his bag of hot fries?
No.
His golden hot fries?
They don't even sell those here in California.
How do you know that?
Have you seen them?
Because you tried to buy some.
Have you seen them? They seem more prominently displayed in Dallas than they are.
Why?
Okay, well, we'll end on that note.
All right, Gordo.
Hot fries are more prominently displayed in Dallas.
You know it.
If that's it, we'll move along.
No, let's keep going.
No, no, no.
That's it.
That's the corner. It's 9:34 on the ticket.
That's it. We'll move along. It's the most flaccid ending to a segment.
Coming up next, David joins us, and we get his take on what kind